Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth.
Let's have a word of prayer over the scripture reading here this morning. Father, as we continue to pursue the truths behind these Ten Commandments, Father, each and every Sunday, new things are opened up to us. Our eyes are opened, our hearts are opened, and Father, this morning, with open hearts and open minds, Lord, we do want you to inject your truth into us. About this next commandment that we're about to undertake, the fifth commandment, Lord. So where are you taking us this morning? What do you want us to learn? Father, I'm just going to stand behind the cross, and I just want your scripture to speak to us very loudly and very plainly here this morning. As always, you get the praise and you get the glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Don. Well, this is week number 12 in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And we have completed the first four. Took us 12 weeks to get there, but at least we've gone through four of them already. Gone through the first four commandments. Real quick review. Number one, you'll have no other gods before you, says the Lord. And the God that we serve is the God of the Bible. Number two, you'll worship no other gods. You're not going to have any false idols. You're not going to make anything out of your hands. And that's called idolatry. That's the second commandment. Commandment number three, watch how you say the Lord's name. We don't want to take the Lord's name in vain. We want to make sure that when we swear or take oaths or take vows, if we do them in the name of the Lord, we better come through with what we say. So those were the first three commandments. And the fourth commandment, which was concerning the Sabbath, I just want to kind of fill in a few holes here this morning. The one concerning the Sabbath, we said this, and we have completed it. It's not repeated in the New Covenant. Nowhere in the New Covenant are we commanded to take one day out of seven and do no work. Colossians 2, 16, 17, Galatians 4, 8 through 11, and Romans 14, 5 and 6 clearly tells us that we are to follow our conscience on this issue. And if our conscience tells us, yes, you take a day, then that's what you do. And if the Lord is telling you, no, you don't have to, then you don't have to. It's strictly up to us. Well, however we decide that. I will highly recommend that we all take the necessary time to rest our bodies physically, mentally, and emotionally. Because I know this, we function a whole lot better when we have had the proper rest. Because I know when I don't, I get cranky and I get irritable, and sometimes you just need to take a nap. Amen? Amen. Yes, we do. We also concluded that Sunday is not the new Sabbath day. A few scriptures do tell us that the young church broke bread on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. But those texts that told us that, they are descriptive and not prescriptive. You might say, well, what's the difference? Well, either a text is describing something, it's just giving us some facts, descriptive, or it's prescriptive. It's prescribing something we should do. And those texts are just descriptive. Meeting together as believers on a Sunday is just something we have done throughout tradition for many, many centuries. And we continue to follow that tradition today. Here we are meeting on the Lord's Day, as we call it, the first day of the week, Sunday, because that is the day the Lord rose from the grave. Well, with that quick summary, now it's time to move on. Let's begin with the next six commandments. And to do that, I got to go back to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. And in that verse, an expert of the law asked Jesus this question. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replies and says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the commandments hang on, and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Love. Love. This is where Jesus wants to take each and every one of the commandments. He wants to drive the Ten Commandments from the point of obedience, which is something outward, back to their intended point of love, which is something inward. You know, there's a lot of people who can obey commandments on the outside, but on the inside, as Jesus says, they're full of what? Dead men's bones. They have no love. Nothing's on the inside. It's all just superficial. And that's not what the commandments are all about. It's about loving others and loving God on the inside. So far in our study of the Ten Commandments, we have learned that the first four commandments are about our relationship between us and God and for our love for God. So these first four commandments that we've completed sum up the greatest commandment as defined by Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So those are commandments 1 through 4. We love God. And remember, it's not a matter of obedience, it's a matter of love. Jesus says this, "If you love me, you will do what? You will obey my commandments." Jesus always put the love part first. The next six commandments are about our relationship and our love for others. These next six commandments sum up the second greatest commandment that Jesus talks about. And he says this, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And those are going to be commandments 5 through 10. Again, it's not a matter of obedience, it's a matter of love. These next six commandments, I will warn you up front, are indeed going to test our love for others. But when we truly love others, we will find out that commandments 5 through 10 are going to become a little easier to obey. So here's a couple questions you need to answer yourself and I need to answer myself. Can we love others like we love ourselves? Do we love others like we love ourselves? And I'll be perfectly honest, it's easy for me to love you. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. What about them folk out there? Ooh, that's when things get a little rough. Now, isn't it? If we are on this Christian journey to become Christ-like, just think of the people that Christ loved. He loved his disciples who sometimes just didn't get it. He loved the people who nailed him to a cross by saying, "Father, forgive them." He even loves people like you and me. Over the next several weeks and months, we are going to be studying commandments 5 through 10. And it's going to be a very practical study. But I guarantee this, it's going to be extremely challenging. Toes are going to be stepped on, including my own. Because these commandments are really going to test us. And I'll tell you up front, yes, we will find all the rest of the commandments in the new covenant. It's going to test us. How much do we love our neighbors? How much do we love others? Because if you're like me, there's some people out there. That are not so easy to love. So let's go right to the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, if we look at the original commandment as given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai in 1440 BC, he says this, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Okay? I want to answer this question right up front at the start of this study of this fifth commandment, and I think I've already answered it. Is it found in the New Covenant? Of course it's found in the New Covenant. We just heard Don speak it from Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, that you may live long on earth. You'll notice that the command that we have been given in Ephesians is pretty much verbatim the same commandment that the Israelites were given back on Mount Sinai. Although there is a little bit added there in verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. And I needed to say all this up front because for the remainder of our time, we're going to be focusing in on those three verses. So I'm going to cover this commandment, as is actually written in Ephesians, four different ways, okay? I think this is going to be interesting. Number one, what is this commandment commanding Christian children to do? We'll look at it that way. Number two, what does this commandment imply for Christian parents? Number three, how do we deal with this commandment when dealing with difficult parents? And number four, what is happening in present-day 21st century American society with this? I assure you that studying this fifth commandment, it's not going to be easy for some people. Why? Because this particular commandment gets personal. It deals with family. Well, the first four commandments, you know, they deal with God, and He's perfect, so I can handle that. I can deal with God. And the final five commandments, they deal with me, and I know I'm not perfect, so I can deal with that. But this fifth commandment, right smack dab here in the middle, it deals with me and my family. And for some reason, family seems to just fall into a category all its own. First, here's what we're going to do today. We're actually not going to talk much about children and mothers and fathers today. We are going to talk about honor today. It does say this, to honor your father and your mother. So what is honor? The word honor, and I have this in your bulletin, the word honor is the Greek word timeo, which means two things. It means to give recognition to or to show proper respect for. So when we honor someone or something, we give recognition to or we show proper respect to. I think the key word in those definitions is the word respect. And let me repeat the words of Aretha Franklin from 50 years ago. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. If anything, we know how to spell it. Do we know how to show it? That's all Aretha wanted. Just a little respect. Amen? That's all she wanted. Respect. That's all I want. But biblically speaking, we need to show respect for these two reasons: who that person is and the position that they may hold. So we're going to talk about honor here this morning. I grew up in an environment in suburbia, Catholic Pittsburgh, where honoring my elders was just something you did. I always called my father Dad, never called him Norman. I always called my mother Mom, never called her Irene. There was no other option. That is what you did. That was the way I was raised. For me, an honor and respect was just not limited to my parents, to my mother and father. My aunts and uncles, we always called them Aunt Mary or Uncle Bob. You never just called him, hey Mary, or hey Bob. You always put that word in front. Aunt Mary, Uncle Bob. My neighbors that grew up on the street I grew up on, we always called them Mr. Randall or Mrs. Miller. We never called them Dawn or Ann. That was just unheard of. As a matter of fact, in 2013, 4 years ago, when my father passed away, the lady across the street, Mrs. Randall, came to my dad's funeral. And guess what I called her? Mrs. Randall. Because that's who she is. I've always been taught to call her by her name. My teachers at school, you never called them by their names. You always called them Mrs. Stedman. Or in the Catholic school, Sister Mary Grace. Proper names were always spoken, and they were always spoken with respect. I was taught to respect my elders. I'm going to share story time with Pastor Mike. Here's a quick little story. One summer Saturday night, my family decided to go visit my Uncle Bud and Aunt Mary. Now, we had four kids in our family at that time. They had four kids in their family at that time. We were all about the same age. So we went over and we had a good time playing. But over their house that evening was also their grandparents, as my mother would say, from the other side of the family. But their grandparents were there. And my cousins called their grandparents by their first name. It would be like calling them Donna and Bill, you know. And I still remember them calling their grandparents by their names. On the way home that night, I remember my dad saying this as plain as day. Boy, was he hot. And he said this, "I can't believe that Bud and Mary can allow those kids to call their grandparents by their first names. It's just something you didn't do. You showed respect. You showed honor." Honor. It should be rather obvious that we need to honor God. Amen? That's a given. For both who he is, he's God, and the position that he holds, he's God. He does them both. In the book of Ezra, chapter 10, verse 11, tells us to honor the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do his will. Proverbs 3, verse 9, tells us to honor the Lord with our wealth. And Proverbs 14, 31 tells us that whoever is kind to the needy honors God. And I like that verse because I feel like this church is very good at being kind to the needy. So I believe this church honors God by doing that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 commands us to honor God with our bodies. Uh-oh. We're going to get to that commandment here soon. Watch out for that one. You'll be hearing that one again. Honor God with our bodies. But giving God honor should be rather obvious. What about people? Are we to honor people? Well, let's not confuse the word honor with the word worship. Yes, we can honor people, and the Bible does tell us that we are to honor people. But we are never to worship people. We never put them in the place of God. The God of the Bible is the only one that we worship. But we do honor others. And here's some examples of what the Bible says of who we should honor. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 commands us to honor the emperor. Or some Bibles might use the word king. Or here in America, we might use the word president. Romans 13, 7, when speaking about governing authorities, tells us this. It says this, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." We are to give honor to our governing authorities. We may not agree with our president or our emperor or our king or our governor, or our mayor, or with the governing officials, or even with the policemen. But we are, as Christians, to honor those people for the positions that they are in. I just wonder, sometimes, if we don't go just a little too far, maybe with our political humor sometimes, I just wonder what the world would be like if we Christians honored those people. Again, we might not agree with them, but we are to honor them. Honoring others. Oh, here's where it gets a little more personal, husbands and wives. Proverbs 4:8. It promises husbands. Okay, husbands, listen up. Here we go. It promises husbands that if we embrace and cherish our wives will honor and exalt their husbands. Which one of them comes first? Husbands, would we like our wives to honor and exalt us? Yes. If so, what are we to do? Cherish and embrace our wives. Proverbs 31:31 tells husbands, oh, here we go again, tells husbands to honor their wives for all that their hands have made and done. We may not always agree with our spouses, but we are to honor and respect them for who they are and the positions that they are in. They are our spouses. That is a sermon series. I can see it coming down the road here in a little bit. We'll talk about all that. And I also believe that honor and respect must carry over into the workplace. Our bosses. We may not agree with everything that our bosses say or do, but Colossians 3:20 through 24, we are to honor and respect our bosses because they are the person who is in that position. Boy, this is getting tough. And I haven't even started on moms and dads and children yet. I'm convinced that if Christians honored and respected people in such positions, we would have better credibility out there in this dark, unbelieving world. But so often, we act just like that dark and unbelieving world out there. This is going to tramp on toes. Mine are already hurting a little bit. Honor, to give recognition to or show respect for two reasons: who they are and for the position that they hold. We must give honor and recognition and respect to God and to others who are in a position of honor. Now here you go. Here's where this all ties together back with what Jesus said. The respect and honor that we give is in direct proportion of how much we love. How much do we love our president? How much do we love our governor? How much do we love that policeman or policewoman? How much do we love our boss? How much do we really love our spouse? We are to do all that because Jesus commands, the second greatest commandment, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Sorry, we can't say, well, she's my wife, she's not my neighbor. That don't fly. And that leads us into this new covenant command of honoring our fathers and our mothers. So what does it mean to honor my father and my mother? Now, wait a second, Mike. I'm going to have a difficult time enough honoring all those other people you told me I got to honor and respect. Well, this is where we're going to stop for today. Okay? We'll stop right here. We've laid some groundwork on honoring and loving our neighbor. And they are all intertwined. They are proportional. The more we love, the more we honor. So how much do we honor? How much do we love? But next week, we're going to pick up right here with the same train of thought on honoring. And next week, we're going to get real up close and personal, talking about our dads and our moms and our sons and our daughters. How we honor our parents and how we want our children to honor us. Please come back. The fifth commandment. But it is the one with a promise. Let's pray.